Hello and welcome once again to Talking Pictures Podcast. I'm your host David and joining with me, as always, my co-host Brian. Brian, how are you today?
We're in a car.
Once again, for our bonus episode this month, we are going to be discussing, similar to last month where we discussed the Spider-Man villains, that we're going to be discussing some of our favourite Batman villains. But we have set ourselves a rule in that we cannot choose Joker. I think Joker is a little bit too easy of a choice.
There's no one villain in the Spider-Man rogues galleries that you can pretty much target as the Joker to Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're gonna do that, well then you've got three picks between Dr. Octopus, Green Goblin, and Venom.
Yeah.
Whereas when it comes to Batman and his rogues galleries, it really is only Joker.
Mm-hmm.
The rest, that's how I would rank it. So, because of that notion, no Joker picks.
Mm-hmm. It's too easy. It's too easy. Yeah. When you think Batman, you think Joker.
It would have been, I wouldn't have picked it myself personally, because it's too much now. We have as many Jokers now as we have are in getting Batmans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We even have more, do we?
I'm not sure.
No, well, we have at least one Joker for every Batman.
Pretty much now.
You know, and even for, in some ways, too, because we have the Joaquin Phoenix, who doesn't have a Batman. And then we have Robert Pattinson, who has, in a way, the Barry Keoghan one, who we haven't really officially seen yet.
Well,
so
I would actually issue him to be his Joker. Mm. It's just up to them. Like, they introduced him, so mm-hmm. it's up to them if they want to use him. But to me, Barry Keoghan is the Joker to Robert Pattinson's Batman now. Mm-hmm. We will be getting a new Batman in James Gunn's DCU, so it's
we'll have a new Joker then as well.
Well, maybe we'll see. But right, yeah, David, our top three favorite Batman villains. Once before, like Spider-Man villains, we are choosing villains who are across all media streams. Doesn't matter if we're talking about a specific villain from a movie or in the comic books. In where they originated, or even in any TV shows if they have popped up there. Mm-hmm. This is a general sense, or it can be a specific sense based on a particular portrayal of an actor in doing a villain.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, David, want to know my picks?
Yes, please, you start us off. And is this in a particular order, or is it?
I guess you can assume this to be in a particular order.
Okay.
All right. Hopefully we'll get a 3 for 3. 6 promotions mm-hmm. that we have different
we did
picks.
We did it well with Spider-Man that we didn't have any crossover, so we'll see now.
No one is going to pick the Lizard as their top 3 favourite Spider-Man villains.
And are you picking the Lizard as your favourite Batman villain? Killer Croc.
That would be Killer Croc. No. That just goes to show how much different I think the Lizard to Killer Croc. Mm-hmm. So, David. Bane.
Excellent. Bane. Great choice.
I've always liked the idea that as many villains as Batman would have, Bane is the foe to put Batman to his match.
Mm-hmm.
And he's well known for breaking Batman. And he's a henchman. As much as he is a leader, he is a henchman. And that goes from the Bane that was in Batman and Robin and Tom Hardy's Bane. And then just think about Bane in the Harley Quinn TV show, which is, he's one of the best characters,
mm-hmm.
but that's a Harley Quinn show for comedy,
mm-hmm.
so maybe that I shouldn't include that, but in a general sense, yeah, Bane. And of all the rogues galleries, he was one of three that I was struggling to pick, because there was one Batman villain I knew I was going to pick. He's probably my number one pick, so I'll save him for last, but there is three that I was fighting for the number 2 and 3 spots, and Bane made it in there.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I have to say.
Yeah, Bane is a great choice. I love Tom Hardy's portrayal of Bane.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's popularized him. In fact, in the Gotham show, they sort of copied him a bit.
Mm.
You know, put a mask on, distort his voice, big hulking, brooding monster.
Mm-hmm. And he just is a good adversary of, I think, a lot of Batman's villains. They're not all the same note. Like, they will challenge Batman in different ways, and Bane is a great one physically mm-hmm. to fight against, because he doesn't, like you said there, he is the henchman. Do you know, like, he's the biggest guy for Batman to fight. So
yeah.
I think that it's a great choice.
Well, Dave, I mentioned that Bane and another two were fighting for the spots of number two and three in my top three favourites. I'm not going to tell you the other one because he didn't make it on the list. But who did make it on the list in my number two spot? Again, across the board of multimedia, in a general sense, Penguin. Penguin is... he's it. That could be Danny DeVito.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be your man who did Penguin in the Gotham show. Or it could be...
yeah.
He was good.
I actually quite like him.
He was probably the favourite,
mm-hmm,
in that show and when it came to the villains. But Colin Farrell as the Penguin.
Mm.
Yeah, that's... Penguin, in the more sense that he is a gangster.
Yes.
He's a criminal.
Classic. Like 1950s gangster, Tommy Gunn.
Yeah.
You know, great choice.
And yeah. But there's a lot of sorrow to him. And you can show, there's a lot of sympathy you can get from him. And we're going to get that in Colin Farrell's Penguin show.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, we're getting a Penguin show.
They're filming that right now, aren't they?
Yeah, if not, they haven't done it, yeah. You're going to be rooting for him. We're going to see a side to him. I think there's a sort of general sense. He's got some parents' issues, mm-hmm, I think. And that was obviously heightened in the Danny DeVito one, but I think we're going to get something along those lines because he's not a very handsome man. And as much as he presents himself to not care, maybe that is a something that, you know, I don't know, bothers him.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, he's not a foe to physically fight Batman, but he's always going to escape the scene for Batman to clean up his mess and save the day.
Yeah, and he's always got something going on.
Yeah.
And I like the way that you said there that, like, his physical stature and his deformities and stuff does influence him a lot. Like, he feels... I always felt that even though he's the smallest person in the room, mm-hmm, he has to be the most important one.
Yeah.
Do you know, like, he makes up for anything that's wrong with him. His own deformities are what he sees as wrong, as like, okay, well, yeah, well, I'm the richest person in the room and what I say goes. You know, he makes up for it with his actions.
Yeah. And just to backtrack to Bane a bit, Tom Hardy is my favourite portrayal of Bane.
Mm-hmm.
Colin Farrell is my favourite portrayal of Penguin.
I would say the guy that plays him in Gotham is my favourite. I actually really like the dynamic between him and...
Riddler?
Riddler, yeah.
It's funny you say that, because I hated the Riddler character, because I didn't think he was as likable.
Mm.
Whereas I thought Penguin in the Gotham show was the most likable villain, period.
Mm.
Maybe not period, but in terms of main cast, I wanted to see him rule the roost.
Mm-hmm. That Gotham TV show is a great show for the villains.
Yeah.
It's a great showcase of the rogue gallery.
More
so than any other Batman media, I think. Because it's from the perspective of Jim Gordon before Bruce Wayne is Batman.
I just have an issue that fuck all of them die.
You would have wanted them to die before.
Yeah, because this Gotham show is not about Batman. So we're not going to get that.
Mm.
And if we're not going to get that, still make it your own thing. Don't sidestep it to accommodate the, I suppose, narrative ideology in that of Batman, who is the saviour of Gotham. Therefore, he needs to have all these hundreds of lists of villains to foil plans. Mm. But we're not going to get that in this Gotham show. It ends when he's about to start.
Yeah.
So in my opinion, well, we're not going to get that. So show me some satisfaction to show their defeats, because they're just coming back every time.
Mm.
I would have wanted...
Now, there was some that were, like, original characters that were killed off.
Yeah.
With Fish Mooney and with... Jerome, or was it Jeremiah? One of them died first. The Joker version,
I think the both of them died, actually.
No, one of them ends up as Joker at the end.
Well, the other one was Joker as well, though, in a way.
They were both, yeah.
They were both...
He plays twins.
They were both in different interpretations of Joker.
Yeah.
He's a good actor, by the way.
Cameron Monaghan, great.
Oh, fuck, yeah,
great.
He's great.
But moving on, back to the...
yeah, man, let's not get sidestepped. All right, David, I don't think I had too big of trouble in choosing my favourite Batman villain. Mr. Freeze.
I knew you were going to pick Mr. Freeze.
Why did you think... Oh, no, sorry. Scratch that. Reverse it. Why did you know I was going to pick Mr. Freeze?
Because Mr. Freeze is a great villain. He's great. He's so layered in his his story, that it's not like he's a villain but doesn't want to be a villain. He's doing it for the
saving his wife
and Nora. And I don't, he definitely didn't start off with that backstory.
He's a scientist.
He didn't start off with that backstory, definitely. Like, that was created later on. But,
well, that's the interpretation of Miss Freeze I like.
Yeah, I like the Arkham version. That'd be my choice for
him. Well, okay, well, I've not seen the Arkham version of that. I've seen some Arkham villains, but I've not seen that one. I know Miss Freeze is like that in the Harley Quinn show.
Mm.
Of course, Arnold Schwarzenegger was that one. Enough said about that. But even in the Gotham show, the Mr. Freeze and that, he had his own like 2-episode special to be the villain of that double weekend. Same thing. So, Mr. Freeze, and I suppose my favorite interpretation of Mr. Freeze, you're gonna have to help me on this. There is this Batman animated movie where Mr. Freeze is the villain, and I just remember this scene. Mr. Freeze has sort of got the best of Batman, but one of his goons has his legs frozen, and some of his goons are like trying to rescue this one goon who's caught in the ice capsule, and there's we can't leave him, and Mr. Freeze is going like, well then you can join him, and then they leave him there to just die. And Mr. Freeze leaves, and Batman saves the goon, and he has him in a hydro pod, like, you know, he's hooked up to a bunch of stuff, and he's in the water, and he's saving him. And I think later in the movie, in that animated movie, he's sitting in a jail cell, and he's got a little what was it, a snow globe of a miniature of his wife, or what his wife would be. I just remember that scene. I remember seeing this as a kid.
I've not seen those ones. What is it? Batman and Mr. Freeze Sub-Zero.
I don't know how many animated Batman movies are there.
1, 2, 3, 4.
No, with Mr. Freeze.
Oh, I don't know. That's the only one where he's in the title, so I would assume that that's him, but I couldn't say for definite now, to be honest.
Well, that's got to be it, because you saw some sympathy from him and who he was and why he was. Yeah, David, you knew I was going to pick him, so that's exactly why.
I think... The sympathy-wise is why I thought you would pick him, because it's similar in a way to the Lizard.
Yeah.
Do you know, like, if he had the choice, neither of them would be the villain.
Yeah.
You know, so... But,
so the best villain is someone who doesn't see himself as a villain.
Yeah.
No one ever sees himself as an asshole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's a great way. I think, Victor Freeze definitely sees himself as doing the right thing. He might be going about it the wrong ways, but the ultimate goal is to save his wife's life.
I root for him.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to save his life. I root for him.
Mm-hmm.
When I root for a villain against a hero, who you're supposed to root for the hero,
mm-hmm.
then they're doing a good job.
Yeah.
And that's in my opinion. So yeah, I'm actually quite happy with my list now. Now I've got to talk about him a bit in depth. Bane, Penguin, Mr. Freeze.
Good choice.
3, 2, 1. In that order. Yep. David, your turn.
Mine is the opposite of yours. Mine is in no particular order.
Okay, well, that's fine. Well, why don't you save the best for last?
Okay.
If you can.
Yeah, I can. So, first one then. In a similar vein to Bane. I would say Clayface.
Interesting.
I think that of all of Batman's villains, while a lot of them, like Two-Face or Penguin or even... Mr. Freeze or Bane. They're all very grounded, down to earth, like almost regular people. Whereas Clayface is a...
You're not going to see Clayface fight Robert Pattinson's Batman, but he might fight Alan Richardson's Batman.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. There's a certain...
And that's a little inside reference about Alan Richardson's Batman. Just
to our other, to our fan casting episode there a few months ago. It's... Clayface is just like a bit like a fantasy, like it's a bit sci-fi. Well, not even sci-fi.
Heightened sci-fi, science fiction. I don't know the origin of Clayface. Why is he this? Is he human? Did he start off as human? Is he clay?
Pretty much, you can kind of mold his body to be, you know, the size of one of us, or he can change his appearance to be anyone, or he can be.
Is he a human?
I genuinely don't know. Mm. I've seen him in not a whole lot of media.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't been adapted to the screen, I don't think, whether that be Gotham or...
Neither Gotham. The only depiction I've seen of him that the best, I think, is the one in Harley Quinn TV show.
I haven't seen it, but...
And he's definitely not what you think.
Mm.
He's voiced by Alan Tudyk, and he's a theatre-loving, Shakespeare-quoting...
Okay.
He'll fall in love with himself if he'll...
if he's allowed to, yeah.
So he's definitely, you know...
But I like him as a giant obstacle for Batman to fight, similar to Bane. The same vein as Bane, you know?
Yeah.
My number two spot, Scarecrow. Because I... And specifically, when I say Scarecrow...
Yeah.
I mean the Cillian Murphy version.
I thought you were going to say the Arkham version. The Arkham game one.
The Arkham game version is, in a way, kind of two different versions of Scarecrow. Because he starts off as one thing, and then towards the end of the later games, he is a completely new version of Scarecrow.
So they literally rebooted Scarecrow.
Yeah.
To accommodate a new main villain for a game.
Exactly, yeah. Okay. He was a side villain, then became the main villain.
Like Rumpelstiltskin in Shrek 3 and Shrek 4.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Maybe the lovers, you get what we're talking about.
But I just like him as a character in terms of like taking one of Batman's greatest weapons, which is fear,
mm-hmm.
and him actually like weaponizing it.
Yeah.
Like Batman is fear in that, like, you can't see him. He's in the darkness. But
best conveyed in Robert Pattinson's Batman.
Mm. But having then Scarecrow be someone who uses a toxin to like taking everyday normal stuff and making it your greatest fear. Like, it's, you can't fight that. Do you know what I mean? Like, he makes your own mind scare itself, really.
He's an interesting one because he's a man who's going to set a trap on you and then evade. He's going to evade, like, fighting you because he's not a physical threat to Batman. You can't go toe-to-toe with him. Similar to Penguin, in a way. Because, no, you can't do that. So, Scarecrow was an interesting one. Very popularised by Cillian Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
Because this little dweeb is a Batman villain. All the best villains for popular superheroes are scientists. They're geniuses.
Mm-hmm.
There's only ever two type of villains. The Brute and the Brains.
Mm-hmm.
And Scarecrow is a good one. And I think they did him well enough in the Gotham show as well.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember him. Cheesy, cringy, but I like that they had him as the main villain for the last Batman game in the Arkham series. Am I right in saying that?
He was, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because, of course, Joker was one, Black Mask was one, but Scarecrow. It was a good idea. It was interesting. So, good choice, David. Yeah. It's funny, just because we have so many interpretations now, will we get more in James Gunn's DCU, or will we get new interpretations?
I'd like to see him delve into lesser known and lesser seen villains.
The Owls or the Pig, the Cora, or the
Hugo Strange
or Hush
or Hush or
I fucking hate Hugo Strange.
Really?
I don't know why. Maybe B.D. Wong's portrayal in Gotham. I just hated him, never liked him. I wanted him to die, he didn't die. I think they're doing an Arkham show as a haunted anthology. If they are, I don't know, narrated by Hugo Strange.
Mm.
I don't know. But definitely. And Scarecrow, he can also blend between grounded Batman to fight Robert Pattinson and hot in reality Batman to fight Alan Richardson. So it's funny that we're agreeing that Alan Richardson should be the new Batman for James Gunn's DCU.
See, even if he was to fight Robert Pattinson's Batman, he can be that grounded one, but that then gives the allowance to go into the more fantastical or the like hyper realistic because of the fear toxin.
Yeah.
You know, that it's in your head.
Mm.
That kind of gives them the permission to do something just completely wacky and zany and you're like, fuck, what is going on? But my number one pick, and while the other two might have been, you know, no particular order, I think that number one, he is, like you were saying there.
We're so sexist. We're picking men.
I know, but Batman doesn't have very many female villains. I know he obviously has Poison Ivy and Harley Quinn and
Talia al Ghul.
And Catwoman even is like toes the line between villain and hero. So
I don't think you will ever get a Catwoman villain to a Batman ever again.
Mm, yeah, she's moved over to the side of good. But with that, Poison Ivy, in a way, even though she is a villain, she does also kind of toe that line of nearly just wanting to be left alone and is just defending herself.
Yeah.
At least that's how I kind of see a lot of the interpretations of her. I haven't seen her in the Harley Quinn show.
She's like Harley Quinn. If she toes the line.
Mm. Harley Quinn has definitely, over the last while,
toed the line of hero and villain.
Has, I wouldn't even say toed the line, I'd say jumped the line. Like, her interpretations from, it seems like, the David Ayer Suicide Squad, from then on, she has been very much heading towards the side of good.
And she is pretty much that in the show.
Mm. So she's moved over.
But David, I interrupted you because
you wanted to mention the women. Yeah, no, man, fair enough. Absolutely. But you did mention one of their last names, Talia al Ghul. I'm going to pick her dad, Ra's al Ghul.
Is it not Ra's al Ghul?
It can be. It's. I'm pretty sure it is Ra's.
Okay.
But I would normally pronounce it Ra's al Ghul.
I pronounce it as Ra's al Ghul.
But Ra's al Ghul, he is the. What you were saying there, it either is brains or brawn. He is both. Yeah. He is a physical match for Batman, and he is the intellectual match for Batman.
I'm so glad you picked him, because I did think of choosing him as well, but I think there's been a few interpretations where he just comes across as maybe too one-note in stereotypes.
Mm-hmm.
But he has been completely elevated in that of Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
So
Liam Neeson was the first live action interpretation of him.
Mm, yeah. And of course we had him in the same in Gotham, but that's what I mean by one note.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and he was in Arrow as well.
Was he similar to the Gotham then, as opposed to?
I can't really remember him in Gotham. I remember him more in Arrow.
Right. Well, in Gotham he's yeah. He's too much of this, like, foreign skills in this way of fighting.
Mm-hmm.
This being of fighting. A ninja of sorts. Mm-hmm. Like, it's too one note. Whereas Liam Neeson made me root for him. I wanted him to succeed in his plan in blowing up Gotham because he's Liam Neeson and I'm rooting for him. And that's when a movie does something good to make me follow and root for the villain over the hero.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck Batman for letting him die.
Yeah. Well, he didn't let him die, man. He just didn't have to save him.
That's the same as killing him.
I know. Yeah, he really bent the rules there on that one. What's he say? I don't have to kill you, but I don't have to save you either. Let's him blow up.
No!
He's also a character who, in a lot of media, he's quite respectful of Batman.
Mm.
Like, he knows he's his match. And that's the thing, is that he is constantly wanting Batman to take his role.
Yeah.
He wants to have him become the head of the League of Assassins. And, you know, he's the one that trained Damian Wayne as well. Which, you know, maybe we'll get to see another interpretation of him there as we come into The Brave and the Bold. As we have an explanation as to how Damian, you know, came to get his skills. So we might get a new interpretation of him soon.
Is Ra's al Ghul known to be the one to have trained Batman or Bruce Wayne?
Not normally, I don't think. No. I think that he... No, I don't think so.
Okay. Interesting. David, we got 3 for 3. We got 6 in total. 6 promotions.
Yeah, man, I'm glad. And 7, really, if you count the Joker as well.
Yeah, man, fucking high five that shit.
Well done.
dead on, David. Bane, Penguin, Mr. Freeze, Clayface, Ra's al Ghul, and Scarecrow.
All great in their own respects.
Definitely so. Quite impressed that neither of us picked Two-Face or Riddler.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is that when we narrow it down to 3, like, there's so many that we could choose from.
Yeah.
Do you know, there's...
I really thought you were going to pick at least one of them.
Mm.
So, and I was not expecting Clayface.
Riddler can come across quite annoying.
Oh, very much so. He is quite annoying. He's not in a lot of them. The best Riddler ever was Paul Dano. Just 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Another one knocked out of the park, David.
In the history books, this one.
Folks, thanks for listening to another bonus episode. Not only that, but also listening to us talk about some of the most iconic superheroes' rogues galleries. Our favourite villains for a targeted superhero. We have a bonus episode released every so often, so please stay tuned for upcoming ones. We are also here every Wednesday for a good waffle topic on a movie review or something else completely different. Stay tuned to find out. We are on Instagram at Talking Pictures Pod, and our email is talkingpicturespodcast1@gmail.com. We promote ourselves on Spotify, and we do appreciate a 5-star like, and if it's no hassle, cost you nothing to give us everything, a like.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Taylor.